Begin the current Dav Masech, this is the Darim Dav Chav Dal. We begin on the bottom of Dav Chav, Gimel on Beis, two lines up at the bottom of the Yamud, where the Gemara continues the discussion from the previous Mishnah. That is how Perek opened up Arba in the Darim, and the four types in the Darim, that although one says it as if it's a regular nether, it doesn't have a halachic validity of a nether. The first category that the first Mishnah, and then the following Mishnah, which is what our Gemara is going on, gave examples of one of the four cases, which are called Nidri's reason, where you're just trying to motivate somebody to do something. But you don't really mean it as a nether. You're just backing it up and saying, you know what? And if you don't do this, then I'm taking a nether that this should be forbidden, which will obviously have consequences regarding what they're talking about. And that we say that you didn't really mean to make a nether. It's just to motivate, and therefore it doesn't have any halacha like a nether. Now, that Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov added on our previous Mishnah, he said, af another case, besides what the previous Mishnah, the first Mishnah in our parak spoke about, and you have a meicher and lekiach, a seller and a purchaser, where they're bargaining, and he says, I'm making a nether not less than four. And he says, a nether not more than two. So he said, they don't really mean that. They both know they're going to meet somewhere in the middle at three. But that's how the bargaining goes. So it's not a real nether. So Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov said, another case of nidri zuzin is when you're trying to get somebody to come eat a meal by you, and you to say, look, if you don't come, I'm making a nether to all my things to be forbidden to you. And then Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov said, that's also called nidri's reason. You don't really mean to make everything forbidden to him, obviously, because you like him. You actually want him to come eat by you. You're just trying to motivate him. So therefore, even if you make such a nether, it's not going to have a halacha of a nether. And even if he doesn't come, he's not forbidden to partake from your stuff. Now, that's where our current Gemara continues. Says Ibailuhu. They had the following question in the Gemara. Pligi Rabban aled Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov eloi. Do the Rabbanon, because in our Mishnah it only says, also this case Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says, do the rabbim, argue on Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov regarding this case, specifically of when you're being Madr Chaverish Yoichel Etzlai, that it's considered Nidri's reason, or not? In other words, the question over here is, because maybe the Rabbanon, who no one argued in the first Mishnah in the concept of Nidri's reason, maybe they hold it's only when there's a Meicher and a Lekech. Where they're obviously what they're saying is not the same thing what they're feeling, because originally when they start haggling and they make this nether, oh, I'm not for less than four and I'm not more than two, they know they're going to meet somewhere in the middle at three. And therefore, obviously, it's not a nether at all, and they would agree that's Nidre's reason. But maybe the Rabbanan argued in Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov's case, because when someone's making a nether against his friend, saying, look, if you don't come to me, I don't want anything to do with you. I don't want you to have any anof from any of my stuff. And you could say maybe there. It was a dafka. It was precisely a nether. It wasn't just motivational. He was really insulted. If you don't come to eat by me, then forget it. I don't want you to have any pleasure from my stuff. So that's the question. Do they agree that here would be the same thing as a nidri zuzin? Or maybe not. Maybe here it's not just a motivational. It's really, he means it very much different than in commerce when that's the normal thing, what's done with haggling. Now then the Gemara says, v'imtem tzalim pligi, and if you say that the Rabbanan do argue on him, and they argue in the Allah of our Mishnah that he said Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, and they hold that it's not a nidri zuzin, it's a real neder, then hilchas tekava seir loy. So then the question then becomes is, who does halacha follow like? Do we say it's like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov that it is a nidri zuzin and therefore it's not a nether? Or is it like the Rabban who, if we're saying that they argue, then the halacha would be like them? So the Gemara says, Toshima, come in here, and the Gemara is trying to first prove regarding the first question, if they argue, do Rabban argue on this halacha of our Mishnah, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, or not? So the Gemara says, come in here to town, like learn the Mishnah later on, Daf Samachim on Mabez. Someone tells to his friend, and we continue on the Tabach of Dalam and Aleph, which the Ran interprets, generally would be a term of a shvua, which is an action on the person. Kainim a neder is always in the object. So the way the Ran interprets, what it means to say is that kainim, it should be forbidden based on the kainim of a neder, what I would have pleasure from you. In other words, your objects are forbidden to me based on the halacha of kainim. So your stuff are going to be forbidden to me if you don't take for your son, from me, kur shel chitin, a kur, a certain amount of wheat, b'shtei chavya shel yayin, and two barrels of wine. And if you don't go ahead and take this from me for your son, then you know what? All your stuff are forbidden to me. So on that, the Mishnah said later on, hareza yachal ahatar es nidra. So this person could permit his neder, shelo al pi chacham, even without going to a sage. Usually there's, you can go to a chacham and it can be matar the neder. This is automatically null and void. Why? Sheyachal loymalay, because the friend whose son he wants to take stuff for could tell the one who's making the vow, look, Kloma Marta El Bishvil Kvaidi. What was this whole neder that you're making? What was this package you're trying to give me? You're trying to honor me in front of everybody else, that everyone should see that you honor me. You want to give me this big gift of the kor of wheat and the 2 barrels of wine that I should take for my son. And therefore you're saying that if not, if I don't take this because you want to honor me, and I'm not taking it, then you're not going to have any pleasure from any of my stuff. So on that, the person could tell him, the recipient, the proposed recipient, Zehu Kvaidi, that is my honor. You're trying to honor me by giving me a gift. I'm more honored when people see that you want to give me, and I don't take, I don't need. As some Rishonim say, that's Sayyidina Matanis Yichya. In other words, it's more honorable to not have to take gifts from people. So that's the halacha brought on that Mishnah Samachim on the base, where it's not going to be considered a nether, because although it's a true nether, but the person could get out of it by saying your whole purpose of giving me, what was that objective? That was to honor me. It's like I got it. In other words, I got the honor, even by my refusal. So therefore, you don't have to be forbidden from my things. So on that, the Gemara makes the inference that time of the Amar Zehu Kvaidi, the only reason it sounds like why it's not going to be a nether, is because the proposed recipient could say, don't worry, you wanted me to take. It's only because you want to honor me. I get that honor by refusing you too. So that's why it's the condition which kicks in to make the nether is not going to be a problem, because he's getting it, he's getting the honor. Now, halav hachi neder, but it sounds like if he wouldn't be able to say that, which let's say it wasn't about the honor, let's say he wants him to take the food, let's say he wants to get rid of the food, and he wants him to take it, if you didn't have that svar, sounds like then that it would be considered neder. Now that the question is mani, who's the Tana of that Mishnah on Samachim on base? If it's Reb Elezer ben Yaakov of our Mishnah, the problem with that is that then even if the person doesn't say Zehu Kvaidi, that it's more honor for me not to take, it should still be batal, even if we didn't have that svar. And the reason is because Nidre is risen, however. Essentially that case is something as a motivational nether. In other words, he wants him to take things. He doesn't really hate the person. He doesn't really want to become forbidden that person's things. He just, I really want you to take this gift from me. And if you don't take it, just know this is putting our friendship on the line. I'm not going to have any pleasure from you. I'm not going to come to you ever again. Now that's called a motivational nether. There's seemingly the same thing as the halacha in our Mishnah, where it's the same thing. He wants him to come eat by him. He says, look, you don't come, it's good. All the things are going to be forbidden forever. So elish mamina, pligur abandala. So obviously we have to say is that, who's the Tana of that Mishnah? It's the Rabbanan. And obviously the Rabbanan argued with Elazar ben Yaakov, and they hold obviously that that case is not a nidre zizin. So obviously that's because they argue. And because if it was a nidre zizin, so why do you have to say the reason is because he could say zeu kevayd, even if he doesn't say that? Still it shouldn't be nether because it's just motivational. So obviously they argue, so we have resolved that question. And then the Gemara says, no, it's not a raya. La'olam chitzul, he could tell you that it's even Reb Elezer ben Yaakov. He could say the Tana of that Mishnah is like Reb Elezer ben Yaakov of our Mishnah. Now, so then why the question is, why do you need the svar of Zehu Kvaidi? Just say it's because it's Nidri's reason. And Reb Elezer ben Yaakov of our Mishnah seemingly has the same type of case. And that the Gemara says, no. Umayd Reb Elezer ben Yaakov Baha'i, he would agree in that case on that Mishnah, the Nidra Hava, if not for the fact that you could say Zehu Kvaidi, and thus say that I'm really fulfilling what you really want from me, then it would be a neder if we didn't have that svar. Why? Because the Amale, because the one who's taking the vow could tell the proposed recipient, like Kalbano, I'm not a dog. That meaning what? That, look, you have stuff that we always share, and I'm going to want to come at some point and take stuff from you. I don't want that I should take pleasure from you, and you don't have pleasure from me. And therefore, I want you to take this korchitin and this 2 barrels of wine. And if you don't, I'm serious. I'm not going to have pleasure from you because I'm not a dog. This is a two-way relationship. Now, so the Ran explains, it's specifically in this Mishnah, Dav Samach Gimel Amud Beis, because the one who's inviting, in other words, the one who's trying to get the other one to take from him, is forbidding that person's things on him. So that's why you could say that even Elazar ben Yaakov would agree that it's a neder dafka, it's a intentional neder, not just a motivational neder. And that is, yeah, he really doesn't want to have pleasure from him in the future, unless that person takes from him right now the one kor of wheat. Because I'm not a dog. It's not a one-way thing. I don't want to just want to take. I want to give too. But in the Mishnah, you can't say that. And that's why it could be Reb Elezer ben Yaakov, and there is this disparity between the two cases. Because in the case of our Mishnah, it's the one who is inviting is not making that other person's things forbidden on him. To the contrary, he's saying that if you don't come and eat by me, then my stuff will be forbidden to you in the future. Now that obviously is motivational, because that's not, there's no logic of kalba over there of saying that I want it two-way. That's not what it's about. He's saying, I want you to have now, because if you don't, I'm never going to give you. Now, what would that be about? That's not, there is no svar of l'chalik of kalba. And therefore, in our Mishnah, it's obviously motivational. And that's why Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov holds that it's not a neder. Whereas in the Mishnah, Sanhedrin Mamad Beis, where you could say that it's not just motivational, he really means it, because I'm not just a dog. It's not a one-way thing. It's a two-way street. And therefore, I want you to take. And that's why if there was no svara of zehu kvaidi, it actually would be a neder, even according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. And therefore, there's no raya that Rabbanan argue. So the Gemara continues, Toshima, from that same Mishnah. The Mishnah there says, if someone tells his friend that it's forbidden based on the concept of neder, sha'ata nenesli, from that which you would have pleasure from me, in other words, my stuff are forbidden to you in the form of a neder, if, I don't want my stuff to be forbidden to you, but, if you don't give to my son a core of wheat and 2 barrels of wine, then my stuff will be forbidden to you. So Remeyarim, he says, that it's going to be asr achayit, it's going to be forbidden until he gives him, which is, that's what the neder was. He says, look, if you don't give my son these things, then you can't have anything from me. So if he doesn't give, so it's forbidden. The Chachamim, they say that no. This is the same thing as the previous case, that it could be permitted even without being matter the neder by a chacham. It's just automatically not a neder. Why? Because the one who took the vow could say, it's as if I received it. In other words, he was threatening and saying, look, if you don't give my son these things, which I want from you, then my stuff have been to you. So the chacham say that it's automatically also not going to be a neder, because he could say, it's as if I received it, similar to like the previous svar of like, it's like what you want to give me. And as the Gemara explains in Masechtas Gittin of Ayin Damad Beis, the reason is because his whole intention is for his gain, and now he doesn't need it anymore, so it's like I got it, I don't need it anymore. So that's why it's not a neder. Now the Gemara makes the same inference. Sounds like in the svar of the Chachamim, the only reason why it's not going to be a neder is because he could say, it's like I received it, I don't need it anymore. So it's okay, the fact that you didn't give my son, it's like you gave it, and therefore you can still have enough of my stuff. Now, halav achi nederhu, but it sounds like, if you didn't have that logic, that svara of ki'ilu skabalti, then there would be a neder, so the question is mani. Who are the chachamim in that Mishnah later on? If it's Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, well then there's a reason, but why would that be? It's a motivational neder. You're just trying to motivate somebody to give your son something. So therefore you're saying, if not, I'm going to make my stuff forbidden. But it's not a real neder, because as we find, that's the same thing he says regarding inviting people, giving stuff, food between friends. It's just trying to motivate somebody. It's not a real neder. So it can't be Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, because then it wouldn't be a neder. Elav Rabbanan Upligi, rather, must be like the Rabbanan that argue on Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, and that they hold that it's that you don't say neder is reason in the case of friends, because then you really mean the neder. It's only by a meicher and a lekach were there. from the inception, they never meant to make a neder. That's just how they haggle for prices. But regarding things like interpersonal, where inviting for meals, people mean it. And they for whatever relational reason, that's what they're saying. Nothing more says loy. No. Hero, so la'ilam, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, we could say it's even like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. U'maydir b'lazar, and b'lazar would agree, b'ha'ad nidra have, in this case, that it would be a neder. Why? Here also you have a similar svara in the other way around. Misham de amalei, because he could tell to the other person, look, lav malkana, I'm not a king, meaning the inverse of the dog, de mahanino loch, that I should give you pleasure, vat le mahanisle, and you don't give me pleasure. In other words, here's all my stuff. I give you all the time. Now I'm asking you to give my son a core of wheat and 2 barrels of wine. You don't give him, my stuff is forbidden to you. What, I'm a king? I take care of you? That's not the case. It's a two-way street. So this, the inverse of the dog, is the king. Therefore, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov would agree that maybe the person, bedavka, he intentionally meant the neder, because there's a reason over here. In contrast to the case of the Mishnah, where if you don't come eat by me now, then you'll never be able to. Then what's? Of course, he wants the person to come. If he's forbidding his thing, it's just motivational to get the person to come. He doesn't want to make his things forbidden. If he did, he wouldn't be inviting him for meals. So obviously it's just motivational, and that's why in our Mishnah he holds it's not a neder. But in that halacha of the Mishnah, Samach Gimel Beis, we could say it's not Rabbanan, because even Blazim Yaakov would agree that there's a discrepancy between the two cases where there you would say it's Bedafka and it's not Neder's reason. So again, no raya that Rabbanan argue on Blazim Yaakov in our Mishnah. So the Gemara continues trying to bring a raya. Omali Mar Kashisha Beredra of Chizl Ravashi. He says, Toshima, let's bring a raya from a Mishnah on the Chav Zayin. The Mishnah says, Nidri Einzin. It gives cases, as we describe, four types of Nidarm. Abba Nidarm is our Perek, that are not valid Nidarm. One of them is Nidri Einzin. So there the Mishnah explains what is the case of Nidri Einzin, which is was against a person's ability, and he wasn't able to fulfill it, and therefore, since it wasn't of his own volition, it's not considered a Nidar. What's that case? So the Mishnah says, Hidiru Chaveru Sheyechlet Slev. Someone on the power of a neder, wants to force his friend to eat by him. So this person said, look, I'm telling you, you don't come to me, you're going to be forbidden based on the neder. Now the problem is, the guy was going to come. But v'chalahu, the person became ill. Or a son became ill. Or the river got in the way. So on that, the halacha of the Mishnah is, Hare elu nidri einzin, so that's going to be nidri einzin. And the reason is because the person got sick or his child got sick. In other words, the person didn't mean to make a neder if it's something that it was only because the person's not going to fulfill what he wants him to fulfill and to see they're on the same page. But if some type of illness happened, an illness, so he didn't mean the neder in that type of circumstance, and maybe that's not going to be considered a neder, and that's one of the categories of the bar norma of nidri einz. Now that the Gemara infers, hal hav hachi nederhu. But if there was no illness, there was no illness, then it would be a neder regarding this guy trying to get him to come for a meal and him not coming. So Mani, who is the town of that mission? Ir Elazar ben Yaakov, how could that be neder? Zeruzin hava. Essentially, it's the same thing. They're all the same case. They're the same motivational thing. As it says in our Mishnah, we're trying to get someone to come for a meal, and you say, if not, it's going to be forbidden. Elalav Rabbanu Upligi. So what do we have to say? It's the rabbis, who the Chachamim, and they argue and they say that, no, that's not a case of neder zeruzin. The case you're describing in our previous Mishnah is a real neder. Motivational is only when you have a meicher and lekeach, where they know from the onset they're not going to really keep to what they're saying. And that's neder zeruzin. But here's somebody that's trying to invite a friend and he gets insulted and say, you don't come? Don't come ever again. That's a real neder. So you see, they argue under Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. And that the Gemara again says, no, lo ilam Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, you could say that Mishnah is also like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Why? Because umis savir, do you think, as we had assumed in the way we just described the question, de adre mazmina lezmina, that it was the inviter's inception to make a neder against the one that he's inviting? The case is where he says, look, you're forbidden on the neder if you don't come and you make it to the meal, and you're never going to be able to come and have stuff from me ever again. So do you think it's him that's making it? Now, if it was him that's making it, then yes. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov would hold that's exactly the case of our Mishnah, Nidri Zuzin. He's just trying to motivate him. And then the halacha would be it's not a neder, even without the svara of that some type of oinus came up. But loy, that's not actually what happened. That's not the case of the Mishnah over there. It's actually dizmina adre lemazmina. The one who wanted to be invited, he actually thought up this idea of making it forbidden to have stuff from the one who he wants to be invited by. In other words, not like we had assumed that the one who was inviting was making a neder against the one he was trying to get to come for a meal. Because then if that would be the case again, even without a neder, it would be permitted. Because that would be nidri's reason. And the only thing is that it was upon the request of the invitee to be forbidden based on a neder of the host that he wants to go to. Why? The amale, because the conversation went as follows. He tells him, the one who wants to be invited as a guest for the meal, says, Maz minasli lisudasech. Do me a favor, invite me to your meal. So Amale, so the guy, the host says, yeah, sure, I'll invite you. Now, but he wanted, this guest takes it a step further. Tells him, Neder ze alecha. Let's make sure this is really going to happen. I want to come to this meal. That your stuff are going to be forbidden to me, or my stuff are going to be forbidden to you, if this doesn't happen. If I don't make it to the meal, then your stuff are forbidden to me. Vinodar. So the host was agreeable. If that's your request, you really want to make sure this happens, I'm okay with that. If you don't make it to the meal, that's it. You can never have enough of my stuff ever again. Now, and then is b'chalohu, that's what the case is talking about over there, that the one who was invited got sick. Or his son got sick. Or the river was in his way. He just couldn't get there. Hare elu nidri einsin, that's what the Mishnah says over there. That's not going to be a nadir because it's a case of einis. And therefore, since he got sick, that's not what their intention was. The whole purpose of it was to see that you're really, are you really a man of you? Is this what we want? We want this to happen. And if not, if it just doesn't happen, if we're not on the same page, then it's going to be another. But that's not what was thought of. And the einis is not going to be part of that understanding. And therefore, that's not going to create a nether. Now, the reason is, yes, only because there was an illness. But if not, it would be a nether because there you can't say it's a nidri's reason. That it was the intention of the noider, the one who made the vow, to motivate the one who was making the vow against. And the reason is because there's no need to motivate him. Because to the contrary, whose inception was it to make the nether? It was the guest's inception. He said make the nether. Him making it wasn't needed to be motivated by the host to come, to say if you don't come, you're going to be forbidden. Because it was his idea in the first place. And therefore it must be that it was a real nether, not a nidri's reason. And he wanted this to be real. And that's why it has to be only based on the nidri einsin to say it's not a nether. But if there's no einis, then yes, it's a real nether and he's going to be forbidden to have enough in that person's stuff. So again, no raya, because that's not a case of nidri's reason to be medayik, that it's the Rabban who argue on Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. So the Gemara continues trying to bring a raya if the Rabbanan argue on Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Toshima, Gemara says, coming here from the following Brisa. Brisa says, yes, Al Kain. Moreover, even more than what we have on record from our Mishnah, Amar Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, he says another case. He says, if someone tells his friend, Kainim shani nenalacha, on the power of a neder, your stuff are forbidden to me. Im i'atamis archesli, if you don't come and stay by me, or v'teichelim mi paschama, or you eat by me some warm bread, v'tishti mi kaischaman, and drink by me a warm cup of a drink, then I just want you to know that I'm not going to have any pleasure from you. Now, v'halo hekbet kenegde, however, that person didn't want to stay by him, didn't want to come and eat by him. So on that, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov said that af elu nidri's reason. This is also included in motivational nadar, and therefore it's not considered a nadir. Now, as the Ran explains, why the term that we find in this braisa, yesra kain, even more than this, meaning more than what Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says in our Mishnah, which again seemingly is the same thing, it's all cases of trying to get somebody to come for a meal, and if not, I'm going to make stuff forbidden. So why is this different to say that even more than this, that even this is nidri's season? So the Ran says because, although actually here it's different, because here, in the case of the braisa, you seemingly have the logic of saying that I'm not a dog, because what is he trying to do? He's trying to make that person's things forbidden on him if that person doesn't want to have pleasure from him now, meaning coming to stay by him and eat by him. So actually, you would think that Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov would agree that this is a real nether, because to say that it's a two-way street. And in spite of that, that's what the Bryce is teaching a Chiddush, that even so, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov still holds his motivational nether. Because although even there you would think that maybe there you would be mechalik from the halacha of our Mishnah, which is a one-way thing, in other words, to say, if you don't have enough from me now, you'll never have enough in the future, which is no svar of to say, what am I, I'm just a dog? Because that would be only like in the case of this brisa, where it's two ways, saying, look, if you don't have from me, I'm not going to have from you, and that's a two-way thing. Still, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov holds as nidri zizin, which the Ran says, according to this interpretation, obviously we see that what the Gemara previously said, that even Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov agrees that wherever you could say that, what, I'm not a dog, that then it's not going to be a nidri's reason, even according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, obviously it was just what's called a dicha ba'alma, but it's not really the truth. Whereas the Ran brings a different interpretation in the previous Gemara, where he says according to that interpretation, then the Gemara would be able to still maintain that interpretation. But be that as it may, that's according to that interpretation of the Ran, what Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov is saying is, yes, I can even more than that, that even when it would be a two-way thing, still, it's again, he holds it still motivational, although people might be getting insulted and whatnot, it's still just really not, it doesn't really mean to make a net, it's just trying to motivate his friend to come and stay by him. Now, on that it says, v'lehoidu lechacham, but the chachamim did not agree to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov in this yesra, okay. Now, my lehoidu lechacham, that's what the Gemara infers. What does it mean the chacham did not agree to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov? Lav, as the Gemara continues, isn't it, as we continue on talking about Beis, Da'afil b'kama'isa? When they say they don't agree to him, what don't they agree to him? Isn't it sound like that the whole concept that he's saying, that Nidri's reason could apply to friends, to interpersonal relations, not just to commerce, with a Meichin Aleikeyach, Vishmaminot, we could infer that Plik Rabban Allah. Obviously, the rabbis argued with Elazar ben Yaakov, and they hold that no, that's not Nidri's reason. Nidri's reason only went from the get-go, you knew this is how we haggle for prices, and we don't mean anything that we're saying. And that's not a Nidri. But with friends, he means it. And therefore, whichever way it's going to be, you coming to me, I going to you, my stuff forbidden to you, your stuff forbidden to me, doesn't make a difference. It's going to be a real neder. So the Gemara concludes, Shema Minot, obviously we can infer that the rabbis do argue on Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov of the halacha of our Mishnah. Now actually the Ram brings a girsa which rejects the raya of the Gemara that Rabbana argue, and the Gemara says, Loi bevas raisa. No, in other words, only in this last case that we just quoted in the Braisa do the Rabbana argue on Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. But in the first halacha of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov of our Mishnah, they agree that it would be Nidri season, as the Rush brings. Because this Braisa case is different, because here you could say that the Rabbanan would argue is because you could say, Lav Kalbano, I'm not a dog. What do you mean? You're not coming to stay by me and eat by me and drink a warm cup of tea? I'm not coming to eat by you. That's not how relationships work. But could be the Rabbanan do agree to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov in our Mishnah, which there's no Svar L'chalak of Kalbano. And therefore, according to that, Girsa, there is no Raya that the Rabbanan argue in the Halacha of our Mishnah, maybe they only argue in that extra Chiddush of the Yes Alkein, which is brought in this Braisa. Now the Gemara then continues and asks, "My Havala." So, what was the conclusion? Now, Tesis brings, when it's pretty obvious, we just illustrated that the Rabbanan do argue, because Tesis is going according to our Girsa in the Gemara, which says Shema Minah. So Tesis therefore explains the Gemara's question is regarding the second question the Gemara had had. The Gemara had two questions. Do the Rabban argue on Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov or not? And then, if they do, who does Allah follow? So Tais says, according to our gear, so that we already proved that Rabban argued on Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov in our Mishnah, the question is, okay, now who does Allah follow? Now that the Gemara, and that the Gemara says, Tashema, the Amr Rav Huna said, Halacha, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, Allah follows Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Tchinam Rav Ad Bar Hava, Halacha, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, Allah follows like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Now, on that, the Ran explains that what you have to say is that obviously they knew from tradition that Rav Huna is saying the halacha is like the first machloikis that they have, meaning in the Mishnah, that when he was saying halacha is like Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, it means even in the case of the Mishnah. Because if not, then what would they be proving from Rav Huna? And again, that's because the Ran is going like his girsa, which says that loy bevasraisa, that the Gemara refutes the proof. When the Gemara was asking, "My havala," not like Tosis, the Gemara's question was, "So what's the conclusion? Do the rabbis argue on Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov or not? Because there's no proof from that brisa. Because maybe they agree in the Mishnah and argue in that brisa." So on that, the Ran says, "Must be there was somewhat of a tradition that when Rav Huna said Allah is like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov." Again, according to Tesis, it's pretty obvious what the Gemara is trying to say. That we know that they're arguing. On that, the Gemara is saying, so regarding their machlekes, halacha is like Elazar ben Yaakov. But according to the Ran's girsa, that the Gemara is trying to prove, do they argue or not, on that, how do we know that when they're saying halacha is like Elazar ben Yaakov, that the Rabbanan argue, maybe that they only argue in the Braisa, and maybe they're the halacha is like Elazar ben Yaakov. On that, the Ran says, must be there's some type of a mistake they had that what Rav Huna was saying was halachas like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, even in the first machloikah, even in the first case of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, meaning the case of the Mishnah, and therefore if you say halachas like, it must be that the Rabbanan argue. You don't say halachas like somebody if no one argues, and therefore that's what the Gemara is trying to answer, that we see the Rabbanan do argue, but the Ran says a different interpretation. He says that actually you don't have to say such a pshat. He says actually what you could explain is as follows, that originally, what the Gemara's question was, why do they want to know if the Rabbanan argue on Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov or not? Because they just wanted to know what's the halacha. The reason being is because if the Rabbanan argue on the halacha of our Mishnah of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, then maybe we don't pass like him. Because we know generally there's a halachic dictum of a yachid v'rabim, halachic harabim, like the majority. And actually, that's how the Ran explains was the Gemara's second question. The Gemara's second question was only the sequence, was only the conclusion of the concept of the first question, meaning to say, because if you say that they argue on him, well, then the question is a legitimate question of, so is the halacha like him or not? But that was the whole purpose of the question. The whole purpose of the question, we don't really want to know opinions. They just wanted to know, so what's the halacha? Now, once Rav Huna says, halacha is like Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, obviously in regards to what Rabbanu argue in him, then even if you're going to say that it's regards to the Braisa that he's talking about, but in the Mishnah maybe you're right, the Rabbanu agree, fine, that doesn't make a difference to us. We're not bothered if the Rabbanu agree to him. That wasn't our real question. We didn't want to know if they argue. We only want to know because what's the halacha? And so once we say halacha is like Rabbanu Elazar ben Yaakov, and even if it means only the Braisa, not like the Mishnah because the Rabbanu agree to the Mishnah, fine, so now we know the halacha. We know, like in the Mishnah, it's like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, because Rabbanu agree. And we also know in the Braisa, like in which the Yes, okay, and even the bigger Chiddush, when you would have the seemingly Svar of Kabbalah, no, that's still, it's only Nidre's reason. And moreover, the Ran says that since Rav Huna just says plain, halacha is like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, it's mashma that is going on the Mishnah. Why? Why isn't it going in the Braisa? Because he says that the Amiram were very fluent in the Mishnayis, but not necessarily in the Braisa. So if you're saying just a concept, halacha is like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, then obviously what the Amiram had in mind was, which Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov? We all know the Mishnayis. It must be they were referring to even the Mishnah, not in the Braisa, because the Braisas weren't so common in the Beis Medrash. And that's why we know, A, first of all, that the Rabbanan do argue, because you don't say halacha like someone if they don't argue. And moreover, we know that not only do they argue, but that the halacha follows like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Now the Gemara continues the next Mishnah. So we spoke about Nidre's reason. Now we go with Nidre Havoy. Nidre Havoy are exaggerations. So that the Mishnah explains that a Nidre of an exaggeration is not going to be a nether. So the Mishnah explains what would that mean. Amar Kainim, let's say someone says, these fruits are forbidden to me based on the nether. If I didn't see on this road the amount of people, which was 600,000 people, of just men, adult men, that like those who left Egypt, if I didn't see that many men, then these fruits are going to be forbidden on me. Or he says, if I didn't see a snake, like that which is from the stick of the threshing house, then if I didn't see such a snake, then these fruits are forbidden on me. Now, the Ran explains that actually the time of the Mishnah is coming to tell us two different types of cases of halachas, of what we're calling nidre havoy, that are not going to be problematic nadar. One of them, he says, is the application of this concept that we said of exaggerations, which is the first case, where he says that, I'm telling you, I saw the amount of people that like left Egypt. Now, the reason is, as the Ran explains, is because it's very normal for people, when they see a lot of people, that they exaggerate. And they say, like, oh, man, there must have been people like the amount of people that left Egypt. Now, the other halacha of Nachash Kakaris Beis Abad has nothing to do with this concept of exaggeration. And the reason is because as the Gemara will explain, what is the concept of a snake like the beam of the threshing house? It doesn't mean a large snake as big as the beam. Rather, as the Gemara explains, it actually means to say ridged. A ridged snake had ridges like how the beam is by the Beis Abad. Whether that has nothing to do with exaggerations, to say that it was as ridged as the beam of the Beis Abad, because there is no snake that's ridged at all. It would just be an outright lie. It has nothing to do with exaggerations. So on that, the Tanava Mishnah is coming to teach us that when somebody wants to say that this prohibitions of these fruits are going to be forbidden based on any one of these two types in the Nedarim, that's not a valid nether. We're calling that Nidre Havoy. Now, but actually, the Ran explains, each one of them has their own distinct reasoning behind them. When he says that koinim alai peiris, these fruits are going to be forbidden to me based on the neder, if I didn't see the amount of people that left Egypt on this road, the truth is that he's saying the truth. The reason why the fruits are not going to be forbidden to him is because since he saw many people going on this road, so it's very normative for people to exaggerate. That's how they talk. And therefore, that's what we're calling a nidre havoy, because although he didn't really see 600,000 people, 3 million people, whatever it is, so then these fruits should be forbidden. No, because people speak in this exaggerated terms. That's what we're calling nidre havoy. And since he really did see a lot of people, so that's why the fruits are not forbidden to him, because he only said they're going to be forbidden if he didn't see that many people. Now, when he says this second case, that these fruits are going to be forbidden to me if I didn't see a snake like the beam of the threshing house, the fruits are also going to be permitted. Meaning when we say that nidra havoya, not a neder, meaning it's not going to make, neder is always in the object. It's not going to make this thing forbidden, is based on a totally different reason. The reason is because, although this guy's for sure lying, because even in terms of exaggerations, it doesn't apply to say this, because no snake is ridged to say that it's like the ridged beam of the Beis Abad. When we say that it's a nidri havoy, and that the payers are going to be permitted, is because we're assessing what was this person having in mind when he made this neder. Obviously, it was not to make the fruits forbidden on him. And the reason is because then he shouldn't have made it conditional on this condition of seeing a ridged snake. He should have just said that it's forbidden. The reason being is because even now, when he makes this condition, he hasn't added on anything of clarity regarding this snake. And there wouldn't be any difference, meaning a condition is something that would shed light, change ramifications. Here it has no significance whatsoever because everybody knows it's an outright lie. So rather, what we say is that he's not coming to make the fruits forbidden on him. Rather, he's just doing what's called divri havoy. In other words, he's making a scam. He just wants to say that he saw a snake that's ridged like the beam of the Beis Abad. Now, to prove his scam, he's backing it up with saying, and you know what? And if I'm lying, then these fruits are forbidden to me based on the kainim. Now, obviously he's not coming to make the fruits forbidden and backing that up with the condition, because the condition is obviously patently false. Now, because if he wanted to make it forbidden, he wouldn't say anything with that. Must be that actually it's the other way around. He just wants to make up this sham, this scam, this lie of saying, oh, you know what I saw? And to prove that, he's saying, and even to prove it, these fruits will be forbidden on me. Now, that's havoy. That's not a real ned that he's trying to do. And it's the other way around. And therefore, it's not going to be a ned to begin, but there are two different halachas. One is because that he's actually saying the truth. It's just in the form of exaggerations. That's why it's not forbidden. That's what we call nidra havoy. And the second one is because actually he's saying a lie. And he's trying to back up the lie by saying the nether. But his intention is not a nether, and that's why it's not going to be a nether. And that's the Ran's interpretation of our Mishnah. Now the Gemara elaborates and says, Tanu Lina Braisa, Nidri Havai Mutar. Like our Mishnah says, a nether of exaggeration, of hyperbolic, terms that's not really the truth, that Mutar, they can be permitted. Shvuas Havai Asturin. However, an oath, not a vow, which is in the person, that will be forbidden. Now, actually, the Girsa of the Ran, who is the Girsa we're going to explain first, and then we'll explain the Girsa in our Gemara, has the Girsa, Kach Shvuas Havoy Mutars, just like Nidri Havoy of our Mishnah is permitted, the Brisa elaborates and says, same thing applies to Halachas of a Shvuah. In other words, the fruits are going to be permitted for that same reason that we explained in the Halach of Neder in our Mishnah, where that is a person exaggerates. Now, that the Gemara asks, Heichidam Shvuas Havoy. What is this case conceptualization that would apply to a Shvuah? And the reason being is because a Shvuah is obviously different than the Neder. It has different terminology. One is in the person, that's the Shvuah. Neder is in the object. So what would it be? So the Gemara says, Eilei Medama, if you would say in the same words that were used in the Mishnah to describe the case of a Neder Havoy, meaning, if someone says Shvuah, I swear, instead of Kainim, that this is forbidden based on the Kainim, which is like saying that it's like a forbidden to me as a carbon. If he does the same thing in Shvuah and he says, I swear, Im lo ra'isi b'derech hazeh, I didn't see on this road 600,000 people like the people left Egypt, if those are the words he's using, then midam kama, did he say anything? Which the Girsa of the Ran is, harei yatzasa shvu l'shaker. He's basically just said a false oath, which the Ran says, what the term lying is not precise, it's not necessary, it's just trying to say that what he's saying has no description, has no definition. Meaning there's nothing what he's saying over here. All he's saying is a condition without the oath. Saying, I swear that if I didn't see 600,000 people, then what? Then what are you swearing about? In other words, by kainim, it makes sense. Kainim im lo yirizu b'derech hazeh kol mitzrayim makes sense. Kainim means to say that this is kainim, this is forbidden, if I didn't see. But to transfer this, just put in the word shvuah doesn't make sense. I swear if I didn't see this amount of people, you swear what? So, rather, Amar Abaye says, the Amar Shvuah Sheri Isi. Rather, the halacha of the application of Havoy for Shvuah would be, If the person says, I swear that I did see, now that makes sense. Where someone says, I swear I saw this amount of people. Now, if you're lying, obviously that would be a shvur shav. There would be ramifications of you're swearing something. Now, as the Rambam explains, Abaya holds, according to his interpretation of the halacha of shvuas havoy, meaning when the Brisa says, again, according to the Gears of the Ran, that so too shvuas havoy amataras, it's actually not going on both cases of the Mishnah. It's only going in the, it's not appropriate shvuas havoy for the halacha of, let's say, the second halacha in the Mishnah of a nachash kekaira. And the reason being is because there you can't say that his oath will be permitted, because actually that's a shvuas shav. That's an outright lie. And to make an outright lie with an oath is you get malchus for a shvuas shav for saying a false oath. Now, although the same thing applies to nether, where it's also a lie when he's making the nether, as we explained, but we said the reason why we call it nidra havoy mutaris is because then ultimately the fruits will still be permitted, and that's why we call it nidra havoy mutaris, although you are saying a false nether. Now, Abaye says, according to his interpretation of I swear that I did see, there's no fruits over here that are part of his case of conceptualization. It would just be, I swear that I saw a nachash kekaris be'sabad. And that wouldn't apply to say any mutaris, because actually that would be a asturis. In other words, you would be making a shvuas shav, that's a false oath. You didn't see a snake that's ridged. And there's no fruits over here that are part of the shvuah to say that, meaning it's mutaris for the fruits, there's no fruits over here. So rather, the way Abai is interpreting this halacha is, just like nidra avoy mutarin, so to shvuas havoy of exaggeration of mutaris, meaning the first halacha of our Mishnah. In other words, so what's the chiddush? The chiddush is that don't say that since shvuas are more stringent, as we find in previous dafim, it says that Hashem doesn't absolve someone from a shvuah. So you would say that people do not exaggerate, and people are very precise with their words. And therefore, the person who swore that he saw like the people that left Egypt should get lashes because of a shvuah shav, because you didn't see exactly 600,000 people. On that, it's what the chiddush of the Brice is, according to Baye's interpretation. That's not true. Just like people exaggerate, that's just how people talk. When they make a nether, so too they exaggerate when they say a shvuah, and that's why shvuah havoy will also be mutaris. That's Abaye's interpretation. Now, in that Amalei Rav has two questions to Abaye. First of all, he says, Imkain lamalei lamemer. Then, what would be the necessity of the halacha of the Brice? In other words, and this is where Rav differs with Abaye, and he says that if it's regarding just the first halacha of our Mishnah, of Nidri Havoy, that you're saying the same thing applies to Shavuos Havoy, he says, of course, it's pretty obvious that since the person's exaggerating, and people exaggerate when they talk, so of course he's saying the truth. So what would be the condition the Brice had to say that just like applies to Nidri Havoy, applies to Shavuos Havoy? Now, moreover, Rav asks, is Dumi the Nether Ketam? The problem is because the Brice seems to be equating across the board the cases of Nidri Havoy to Shavuos Havoy, and therefore, Rav says, it seems that just like the Mishnah said that the cases of Nedarim that are permitted are two cases of Nidri Havoy, so to Shavuos Havoy would be permitted in both types of cases. Now, if it's the way you're describing it, Abaye, that the person is swearing, I swear I saw this amount of people, or I saw a snake that's ridged, now, you can't say that the case of the Nachash Kekaris Habad and those types of cases should be permitted. And the reason being is because since that's not, according to your interpretation, an application of exaggeration, well, then obviously it's a Shavur Shav. So if it's a Shavur Shav, that wouldn't be able to say Shavur Shav Mutaris. It's actually forbidden. You're saying a lie, Shavur Shav. So according to your interpretation, how does it make sense if we're comparing both cases in the Dharm to both cases of Shavuos? So rather, Rava gives his own interpretation. Now, the Girsa of the Ran is that la'olam ba'omer. Truthfully is where the person says that shvua im lo re'isi. I swear, it doesn't say what he swears, but if I didn't see. Now, and because is what Rava says, and he backs this up, is that lav omer rav amram omer rav, didn't Rav Amram say in the name of Rav that ye'asra peris olam alai, if somebody tells thieves that all the fruits of the world should be forbidden on me, if these fruits you're trying to steal from me are not from the king, now they're going to get scared off and they don't want to steal the king's fruits. And so he says, look, I swear that, I'm telling you, everything in the world is forbidden to me if this is not really the king's produce. So regarding that halacha, Rav said that that's not going to be a shvuah. So hachanami hiroso, and that's where our girsa continues with this, is that, so to over here, Rav says, Where somebody says that I want all the fruits of the world to be forbidden on me as an oath. Meaning, I swear I'm not going to eat any of the fruits of the world. If I didn't see the amount of people that left Egypt, then all the fruits of the world should be forbidden on me. Now, what Rav is trying to say is that he's paralleling a different halacha that's brought later on the Chaf Chasam et Al. But we learn there in the Mishnah that even by a shvu we find that we're not stringent and we're not exacting with the words, and this is the main point where we're comparing to Nidra Havoy, where if someone exaggerates, or he's not saying the exact truth, but if there's an interpretation that we can give for that, so we say it's not going to be a shvua, so we see we're not so stringent to make all the fruits of the world forbidden on that person, because there's a reason why he said that. He didn't want the people to steal his fruit, so he said, I swear it's the king's produce, and if not, all the world's fruits will be forbidden, and it's not forbidden. So Rava says the same thing applies over here, where someone says seemingly the same type of wording, and that's what he's saying is the case of Shavuos Havoi, where someone says all the fruits of the world should be forbidden on me as an oath, if I didn't see like the people that left Egypt. Now the Ran explains, and this is where Rava answers his two questions that he asked on Abaya, that it's going on both cases of the Mishnah. And that's because it's exactly like the two cases of Neder. Moreover, he answers his other question of that there is a chiddush in this halacha, where he said, according to Abaya, there's no chiddush in what you're saying. And the primary chiddush is in the second case of when he says that all the fruits of the world should be forbidden on me if I didn't see a snake that's ridged like the beam of the threshing house. Now, what's the chiddush? Because we would have thought to say, although by Nedarim we say that the fruits are going to be permitted, although he's obviously lying, the reason being is because even if the person didn't intend to make the fruits forbidden on him, and he's really saying this, no, they're saying, look, I'm telling you I saw this amount of people, I saw this snake that's rich, and if I'm lying, then the fruits are going to be forbidden. So on that is what Rav is saying, that even if the person's intention is not to make the fruits forbidden, and he really wants it to be permitted, so then that means to say that his primary concern is the neder, the lie that he's saying, he's still not going to get lashes because of a neder shav, because that's what the Ran explains. There's no such halacha of a neder shav. Now that is why the halacha tells us in our Mishnah that it makes sense that we should interpret to say that he's not really intending to make the fruits forbidden on him. But he's not intending to do that, so what is he trying to do? He's trying to just back up his lie. Well, a person's going to lie and make a neder shav? Yeah, because there's no punishment for that. But by a shvua, where if we are going to interpret and say that his intention is not to make the fruits forbidden, and he was backing up that iser by saying this oath, but then he's going to get lashes because of shvua shav. So then we would think to say that no, obviously his intention is to make the fruits forbidden on him so that he shouldn't get lashes. That's what Rav is saying, the chiddush, and again, that answers his question of chiddush, is that even by shvua, we rely on the reasoning that we explained in the Mishnah, that if his intention was to make the fruits forbidden, then he wouldn't have made it conditional on this condition of saying that I saw a snake, because everyone knows you're lying. There's no such a thing. There's no svar of even saying of an exaggeration. And therefore, if it doesn't help, so why are you doing that? Why are you making conditional on this tonight? Must be, and that's how we explain it by neder, that's not your intention. You don't mean to make the fruits forbidden. You just want to make up this lie, and you want to back it up by using a neder. That the chiddush of the Braisa is that you'll do the same thing by shvua. And that's in spite of the fact that by shvua, if that's really what you're intending to do, which we're saying the halacha is that it's not a shvua, that means to say, but you made a shvua shav, meaning it's not a shvua to say that the fruits will be forbidden. That's what we mean to say, because that's Rav's interpretation. Fruits are going to be permitted. How are they permitted? You said the fruits are going to be forbidden on you if it's not what you had said, meaning that you saw the snake, and we know you didn't see it. No, because that's not his intention. He doesn't mean to make it forbidden. If he meant to make it forbidden, he wouldn't have made it dependent on some patently false idea. Rather, he's trying to use the fruits as backing up the lie of the shvua. So although he's going to get now lashes for making a shvua shav, because obviously he's saying an outright lie in the form of a shvua, but that's still obviously his intention, and that's the chiddush, that he's going to get lashes of a shvua shav, and that the fruits are going to be permitted. Now, on that, only Ravina Ravashi. So Ravina asked to Ravashi the following question. Now, the Dilma Haigavra, maybe this person, Kina de Shum Shemani Chazan, maybe he saw an anthill, saw a pile of ants. Fa'asik lain Shema Oyel Mitzrayim, and he called them, the ones who left Egypt, B'Shabbat Mishtabeya, and therefore the person is really making a valid oath. In other words, what is the Chiddush? Why is this being called Shvuas Havoi? It's not an exaggeration. He really saw 600,000 ants. And he said, these are the ones that left Egypt. Maybe these ants came from Egypt. So his question is, that even let's say according to Rava's interpretation, but why is this a Shavuot Savoy? It's not a Shavuot Savoy. The halacha should be the same thing, that in other words, if someone swears that if I didn't see this amount, this should be forbidden. You're right, it's not going to be forbidden. But not because it's a Shavuot Savoy, because he's saying the truth. It's really true. He saw 600,000 Oyle Mitzrayim, which really refers to ants. And therefore, that's his question, that it should be permitted based on that, and this shouldn't be the conceptualization of a Shavuot Savoy. Up until now, we were interpreting our sugya based on the girsa of the Ran. Now, for our girsa, we're going to interpret it based on the Rush. The Rush first explains the halacha of Mishnah of Nidra Havoy, says that Havoy is an exaggeration. And according to the Rush, there's no two different halachas. It's all the same halacha, which are Havoy, exaggerations. Meaning he says that when someone says more than what is, so to over here, he says that a person really says more than what he saw. Meaning he says when someone sees something, wow, like awesome, amazing, so he like makes it even bigger than what it is, but he himself knows that it wasn't as big as what he's saying. So therefore, even though he says that this loaf of bread will be forbidden to me based on the kainim, if I didn't see the amount of people that left Egypt, or a snake that wasn't as ridged as the beam of the Beis Abad, we don't say that for sure it wasn't like this person is saying, and therefore the neder should be forbidden on him. Rather, we say that he himself knows that it wasn't what he's saying. But that's how people talk, and therefore his intention was never to make a neder, because since that's the way people talk, and the halacha is regarding the dharm that halach achalash from the other, we go after the lexicon of people, and since people talk like that, so he's really saying the truth, and therefore he never meant to make it as a neder, and that applies to both cases of the Mishnah. Now, on that, the Gemara brought the Braisa, and we have the same Girsa, that says, not only is Nidra, that is only Nidra Havoy of Mataran, but Shvuas Havoy are Asur and are forbidden. Now, why? The reason is because an oath is more stringent, as we find always, is Lo Yanake. So therefore, the Rabbanon were more stringent, and although we go after Lashem the Adam, but by a Shvu, we're going to say it's forbidden. Now, so what is the case of the Shvu? So Abaye said, that is, if someone says, I swear I saw. Now, Rava's question on Abaye was, well, imkein lamali lamema. Why do we need to say this? In other words, since the person said, I swear I saw, well, obviously it's going to be forbidden, as the Rush explains, because although it's normative for people to call many people, like the amount of people that left Egypt, but still, Rava held it was pretty obvious, that since a shvu is mochamer, that we hold a person to the exact words that he says. And it's only by neder that we would permit it, since he didn't really intend to, because people always speak in these exaggerated terms. But regards to Shavu being us, so that's pretty obvious, according to your interpretation, what would the need be for the Braisa? And moreover, Rava asked, Dumyu de neder gedani, meaning, what does it mean that the Shavu is like neder? Not like the Ran interpreted, which Ran said that, meaning like the two cases of neder, so to be the two cases of Shavu, because according to the Rush, both cases are really the same. Rather, the Rush interprets it that just like neder is forbidding an object on the person, so it sounds like that the parallel for shvu would be making something forbidden on the person, but according to your interpretation, there's no other thing over here. Loaf of bread, fruits are being forbidden. It's just like I swearing that I saw, I didn't see. So rather, Rava says the interpretation is, Ya'asru peris oylam alai b'shvu, that the fruits of the world will be forbidden to me. I swear they're going to be forbidden to me. Imloi re'isi, if I didn't see this amount of people or the snake that's rich. Now, and that Rav has explained that although it's normative for people to call many people, like those who left Egypt, but by Shavua, it's more stringent. And therefore, we keep him to his word. And since he didn't really see that amount of people, so now all the fruits of the world are going to be forbidden to him. And that's what the Braisa is saying, that Shavua Savoy is going to be an usur. Now, that Ravina's question, again, according to the interpretation of the Rashi's, that maybe kina de shum shemoni chaza, maybe so many ants, and he just gave them the term of oile mitzrayim. Now, therefore, according to this person's intention, he's really making a good shvua. And therefore, if it's really the case, why isn't he believed? And actually, according to this Russian interpretation of Ravina's question, the question is that actually he should be permitted. Why is shvua havoya asur and according to Rav's interpretation? Because we hold him to his word. Good, hold him to his word. Unlike by Neda that you'll say that Nidja havoya gonna be mitar. But maybe when he means oile mitzrayim, who does he mean? He means ants. Who said it means people? Who said it means the Jews from that had the Exodus? Maybe it means ants. That's how many ants he saw, with 600,000. And if that's the case, so I swear I saw this, and if not, all the fruits of the world will be forbidden. He saw the 600,000 ants, so the thing should be permitted. Why is Shavuos Havoya Asurin and should be Mutar? Now we continue on Tabach of Hayam Anav, where according to all the Gersais, this is where the Gemara concludes and says, Amalei, so on that Rav Ash responds to Ravina, when somebody takes a shvua, he swears based on our understanding. In other words, although he doesn't tell us that, or we don't tell him that you have to swear based on our understanding, but a person doesn't make a shvua, what's his made up, concocted concepts, but it's what people understand. People don't normally call ants those who left Egypt. And therefore, it obviously means the people of the Jewish people that left Egypt, which was 600,000 men. And therefore, if he said that he saw on this road 600,000, so therefore, again, depending on the interpretation that we're saying, is going to be the interpretation of Rava of Shavuos Havoy, which again, either that's going to mean that Shavuos Havoy is going to be Asurin, which is like Argus, like the gears of the rush, because we hold them to his word. And your word doesn't mean ants. You mean what most people mean, which are people, and you didn't see that. Say if it's going to be Aser. Or like the interpretation of the Ran, that it's going to be Mataris, which is the same thing as the case of Nidra Avoy, because just like Nidra Avoy are Mataris, so to Shavuos Havoy are Mataris, it's just that Rava had to interpret his interpretation to take the questions that he had on the Baya, because obviously it's even going on the second case of the Mishnah, which would be saying an outright lie, and that was saying that Shvuah is the same thing as a Ned, defined, it's an outright lie, he'll get Malkus for the Shvuah, but obviously his intention is not to make the Paris Usser, and that's why Shvuah Savoy is going to be Mutaris, according to the Gears of the Ran.